Well, I get the joy of kicking off our Lenten series. Josh, when he gets back, will continue this series, and so I get to kick us off. And the series we're going to be doing is called Come Follow Jesus. We are going to look at the times in the Gospels when Jesus said, "Come follow me." And we're going to look at how his disciples responded, and we're going to see how that speaks to us today and how we're called to follow. But with these different scriptures that we're looking at, we're also going to be giving you all a different spiritual discipline every week that goes with our passage. And this is not mandatory. You know, it's not homework. We're not going to check on you all, see if you've been doing it. It's just an invitation this Lenten season to really be intentional about listening to the Lord and seeking him. So we're going to offer these to you every week. And we encourage you to do it and excited to see how the Lord uses them. So at the end, I'll talk more about that. But today, we're going to look at how come follow Jesus is an invitation to be known by the one who calls you. To be known by the one who calls you. And we're going to see this in our text, which is John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. This is NIV. And feel free to read along up there on the screen, starting in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you your word to us this morning, your scripture, and we pray, Holy Spirit, come speak to us, come mold us, come take us deeper in what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Josh and I recently watched a documentary called Lambing Live. It's a BBC show. And you can probably imagine what it's about. It's about farmers and just their day-to-day life of taking care of sheep. Takes place in England. And this particular episode is about Farmer Andrew. And Farmer Andrew is explaining to these two ladies who are there interviewing him and explaining how he knows his sheep. And this is an important question because where they live in England, and there are other farms in the area too, they just send their sheep out in the hills to graze. There are no fences. They're just out there. And then they bring them back when it's time to come in for the night. Well, a farmer's got to know what sheep are his, right? You don't want to take the wrong sheep. And sometimes, Farmer Andrew says, sometimes I go up there to gather my sheep, and I've got some extra sheep, or I've got some missing. They've joined another flock. Well, he's got to go get his sheep. Well, how does he know which sheep are his and which sheep are not? And he goes through this whole thing of describing about smit marks. And apparently these are special marks that they put on their sheep. And each farm has their own unique symbol. And the symbol is, it's like painted on the sheep. And they know, okay, so that sheep belongs to that farm. This sheep over here belongs to that farm. And that's how they do it. It's a great system, right? It works. But then Farmer Andrew says, but you know, a good shepherd, a good farmer, doesn't need a smit mark. He just knows his sheep because he knows what they look like. He knows their distinct markings. You know, they have different marks on their faces, and he can tell them apart, and he knows them, and he knows what sheep belong to him. And it's at this point that the two ladies are shaking their heads, like, really? Because we're looking at this flock of sheep, and there's a little under 200 of them, and they all look the same. They're sheep. How can you tell the difference? And Farmer Andrew say, no, I know my sheep. And they say, well, let's test you then. So what they do, they go in the middle of the flock and they pull out a sheep. They look at the tag number and they memorize it. So they know what sheep it is, right? They take it over to Farmer Andrew and they show it to him for like 30 seconds. And then Farmer Andrew turns around and the sheep disappears back into the flock. And then there's this amazing scene of the show where Farmer Andrew is walking around the flock, looking, and then makes a beeline to a sheep. And he pulls it out, and they check the tag number, and it is the sheep. It took him less than a minute to find the right sheep out of a flock. A good shepherd knows his sheep. Well, in our passage today, Nathanael encounters the good shepherd and believes because he experiences this miracle of being known. And we got to pause for a moment and just see Nathanael's call is very different than the other disciples. We didn't read this section, but if you look earlier in chapter 1, you see some other callings of the disciples. Andrew is called in verse 36-37, and he follows Jesus because John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God. And Andrew immediately follows. And then Andrew goes and finds Simon and says, we have found the Messiah. And Simon follows. But when Philip tells Nathanael this good news that he's found the Messiah, Nathanael responds with skepticism. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? So Andrew does what any good friend would do, right? If someone's not going off of your words, what do? You say, well, come and find out for yourself. Come and see, come and experience, come find out. And that's what Nathanael does. He takes up Philip's offer to come and see. And as Nathanael is approaching Jesus sees him coming. And he speaks these words. He says, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And I don't know about you all, but when I visualize this passage, I just imagine Nathanael just stopping. These words freeze him in his tracks, and he's just blown away. He says, how do you know me? How do you know me? Or as a Message translation puts it, where did you get that idea? You don't know me. And Jesus says this. He says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. And it's in this moment that Nathanael is completely changed. He goes from disbelief several minutes ago to full-blown, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. How did that happen? What a quick transition, right? How did that happen? What changed his disbelief? What did it? Well, it's what Jesus told him, right? He essentially said, Nathanael, I saw you, and I've known you even before you knew me. And it was those words, it was this miracle of being known that radically changes Nathanael, right? Well, if we see in Scripture, we could do a whole long Bible study on this. We could spend a whole year looking at all the ways that God sees his people and how the seeing transforms them, right? Whether it's the lame man on the side of the road that no one sees, that Jesus sees, or it's the woman by the well who Jesus sees, and it's Jesus seeing her past that opens her eyes to see him as Messiah, as her Savior. And we can go to the Old Testament too, and there's so many stories, right, of God being the one who sees. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. It's Isaiah 43, verse 1. So coming to Jesus means to be known by the one who calls you. Have you all seen Chariots of Fire? It's a classic movie. And if you haven't seen it, maybe you know the theme song of it. Whenever I hear that song, I just want to go for a run. It just gets me motivated. But it's a great movie, and it's a true story. It's about Eric Little. He's the son of missionaries in China, was born in China, came back to England for schooling. After college, the plan was for him to go back to China. But before he goes back, he races in the 1924 Olympics. And his family is a little uncertain about this, especially his sister. In the movie, what happens, she's all for him going to China. Not so sure about him racing, though. She sees it as a big distraction or a waste of time. You know, why don't you just go to China? Don't take the time to run. Why would you do that? So there's the scene where Eric is explaining to his sister why he's got to stay and race in the Olympics first. And this is what he says. He says, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." When I run, I feel his pleasure. To be known is more than head knowledge. It's this miracle of a feeling that you're known, of feeling his delight, his love over you. And here's the good news, y'all. There are no requirements or standards for this. You don't have to get your ducks in a row. You don't have to have all the questions of faith worked out. You can doubt. You can struggle. You can come with all the baggage. And he says, come. I mean, notice Jesus pursues Nathanael while he is uncertain. He doesn't compare the disciples. He doesn't say, "Wow, Nathanael, you hesitated. The ones before you, they just got up and followed immediately. You hesitated." There's no condemnation. Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he just gives an invitation. He just says, come. He tells him, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You will see more. I know you. Come because I know you, and you will see even more." We have to ask, what is this ladder, this image of the ladder come from? Does anyone know? It's an Old Testament story. Genesis, right? Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. Let's just recap the story real quick. So remember, Jacob has left home to look for a wife. He has the blessing from Isaac to leave. He stops for the night, falls asleep, and has this dream. And the dream is of the stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to the heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord speaks to him in the dream and says, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." And then goes on a couple verses and says, "I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you." And Jacob wakes up and says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." And he calls the place Bethel, or House of God. What is God saying to Jacob through this vision? What's the purpose of this amazing vision of their stairway, right, with angels going back and forth? What is he saying through that? Well, he's saying, "Jacob, I'm with you. I'm with you. Just like I was with Abraham and with Isaac, I am with you." Well, Jesus uses the same image, but changes it just a little bit. Did you catch the change? Did you catch the change in the verse? Look back at it. Verse 51. It's verse 51, and he says, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What does that mean? What is Jesus saying there? Well, he's saying he's the new Bethel. He is Word become flesh, God with us. He's the bridge between heaven and earth. He's the mediator, right? He's the only way to the Father. So to know God the Father, who do you have to know? Jesus. You go through Jesus, right? He's our mediator. So he's saying to Nathaniel, you believe because you experienced this miracle of being known. Well, guess what? In following me, you're going to see even more. You will see who I am, and you will see what happens when I am present. Because when I am present, my kingdom goes forth. When I am present, when you follow me, you'll be watching what it looks like when heaven and earth open up to each other. Come and see. The call to come and follow is this call to be known. But then there's just more and more and more and more, isn't there? Because it just deepens as we see who he is. Because he's present with you. He's present with you. And that means if he's there with you, which we know that in Scripture, right? He's promised that. He says, I'm with you to the very end of the age. He's with you. That means as we follow him, we're going to know him more. And we're going to see what he's doing more. We're going to see his provision, his grace, his faithfulness, his goodness. We're going to see his miracles because he's with you. He's with us. Well, how do we practically do this in our day-to-day? Because you may be thinking, well, that's great. That sounds great. How do I walk this out? How do I come and see? How do I come and be known? How do I come and know him? How do I do that? And that's where our weekly discipline comes in. How many of you are familiar with Ignatius? He was, see some hands. Art, I know you know. You can correct me if I get anything wrong here. Well, Ignatius developed what we call the Ignatian Examen. And this was developed by Ignatius in the early 1500s. And it's been practiced by the church ever since. And it is this simple prayer exercise. And Ignatius suggested doing it both at noon and at night. I would say go for nighttime. If you can do it two times a day, that's great, but start with one. See how that goes. But the point of it is to have this time of reflection where at the end of the day, you look back and you ask, God, where did I see your hand? Where did I see your blessings? Where did you answer prayers? It can be the littlest of things. It can be big things. But you stop and you take the time to reflect. You can do this as a family over the dinner table. You can do it as a couple. You can do it as an individual. If you like to journal, I would encourage you to journal these, the ways you've seen the Lord work in your day. And why is this important to do? Because it increases our awareness. Because I don't know about you all, but so often I just go through my day. I just go. I don't even see. So this is a discipline to stop and pause and take that time and look back. And over time, our prayer is that the Lord would grow our awareness, that we'll see more what he's doing. Part of the reflecting is also confession. It's also saying, Lord, I missed it here. I didn't slow down here. I didn't give this to you. I didn't even pray here. It's also confession, too, and it leads into the next day, because if you have those burdens that you're still carrying from the day or those worries, you can also offer it to him for the next day. Does that make sense? So it's a time of reflection. It's a time of growing your awareness that he knows you, that he knows what you got. He knows what you're holding. He knows your schedule. He knows every eensy little bit. And he's there with you. And so this is a way to develop, grow our awareness. So try it. If you have a testimony next week, please share it. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this miracle of being known, that you know us. And thank you that as you know us and you've called us before we knew you, that you call us to go deeper and deeper knowing who you are, knowing your presence with us and knowing just the how amazing and how majestic and how powerful you are. So Lord, take us deeper in knowing you and help us sing this song, this next song that we have. Help us declare it in faith that we believe you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, amen.